In preparation for the sermon, I was looking at different illustrations, and I came across one where elementary school was a teacher was teaching a lesson on the religions across the world, and so she invited her students to bring something that represents their religion, their worship experience. And so on the day of the project, kids came in. This one boy got up and he said, "My name is Jeremiah. And I'm Jewish, and this is the Star of David." And he had a flag with the Star of David on. He said, "And this represents our religion." And he said, "Great." So he talked about it and said, "Okay, next." And he said, "Mary." And Mary got up. She said, "Well, I'm Catholic, and these are my rosary beads, and this is a crucifix, and this is represents our religion." And so then this little boy, John, got up. He said, "Well, I go to the Church of Christ, and this is a casserole." If you didn't laugh at that, it was Lily's fault. She picked it. So good for her. What represents our spiritual experience? What is it? Is there a particular thing that when you think about our spiritual life, our spiritual experience, our worship experience, what is it? I don't know what that might be for you. And this morning, I'm not going to give you an answer, and I'm not going to say, "Well, this is what I think it ought to be." But it's important because we need to have something that we hang on to that is representative, that we take with us, whatever that might be, to remind us that we are in a fight because there is evil in the world. This morning, we're going to be talking about the fact that there's evil in the world. We're against something, as Lance just read, that we, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and the forces of the dark places. And whatever those might be, the fact of the matter is that over and over and over in Ephesians chapter 6, we are told that we are against something. And it's not pleasant. It's not good. And we just got through with a quasi holiday, called Halloween, where kind of that dark side is, I don't know if it's celebrated, but it's at least acknowledged. And I'm not saying, for or against or whatever, have fun, dress up, go get candy and all that. But a big portion of that is that there is evil in the world. And Ephesians 6 and 11 tells us that there is evil in the world. Put on the full armor of God. You can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, whatever you think about the evil and this and characters and ghosts and goblins and all that, this morning is not about for or against it. This morning is about the reality that there is an enemy to our soul. He's called the devil. And he's got a plan to destroy all of us, to separate us from God. And he's not really up front with how he does it. He's really up front with that he does it. But he's not really up front with how, because the Bible says that they are schemes. And they are hidden. And there's tricks involved. The Bible tells us also in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, "Do not love the world." You see, there is a spiritual battle going on against the ruler of the world, the God of heaven. The Bible says, don't love the world. He goes on to say, don't love anything in the world. And if you do love the world, if your heart is in this world and the trappings and the everything that goes with that, then the love of the Father is not in you. So he's saying, what we're up against is a very serious foe. The fact of the matter is that we're not in a fight over death. We're in a fight to the death. Now there are, you see on, you know, boxing and MMA and all of these, different, you know, whether it's WWE, and again, this morning we're not going to debate whether or not that's real or not, but, you know, all of these fighting type things and there's always this give in kind of, ending to it. Whether it's boxing and, you know, you just get knocked silly and you can't get up for 10 seconds, okay, you're out. Or you run out of rounds and then somebody's declared the winner. In MMA, either you get knocked out or you can tap out. And tapping out is when, you know, somebody, they've got you in a hold and it hurts so bad you can't go on, you just give them a tap. Okay, I give up, I quit. But our fight is not like any of those. At no time can we say, I give up, or I don't want to do this anymore. We are in a fight to the death. And our fight doesn't end when we say, I've had enough, or when we say, I want out, or when we say that this is too uncomfortable, or when we say that I'm bored with this. Our fight doesn't end with that. Our fight against the devil's scheme actually ends in death. See, if we ever get tired of the fight, we just realize it ends in death. But the glory is that our life never ends. The fact of the matter is that no matter how much God, or no matter how much Satan schemes against us, no matter how much he throws at us, no matter how much evil is in the world, God overcomes that. And the one thing that we are all universally scared of is the one thing that God says you don't have to be scared of, because although your fight, your war against evil ends in death, your life never ends. And when we believe that, we are then free to take our stand against those schemes. Because when we fight against those schemes, when we wage war against the devil, it reminds us of death. Because it's painful a lot of times. It's uncomfortable a lot of times. It reminds us that this isn't permanent and that there's an end to this. And so what we do is we get distracted away from that and we choose not to fight. But God is saying, fight, fight, fight. Because although your fight ends in death, your life will never end. So this morning, I do want us to talk about understanding the battleground. As we realize that there's evil in the world and there's nothing that we can do about it. We can't close our eyes. We can't hide it in the closet. We can't, you know, do like, you know, the kids do or you know, people that when we're talking about something, like, blah, 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 blah. We can't do that. We can't distract ourselves away from it. It's not going to go away. There is evil in the world. We are against it and we have to understand the battlegrounds. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5. He says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. He says, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. And I just briefly, I like to just think about that for a second. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if Paul's just kind of joking with them, like, you know, because he is bold when he's away from them. You know, Paul will say it like it is. Philippians, the whole book of Philippians, a beautiful book with great t-shirt verses in it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, a great letter is written so that two ladies will quit fighting, and he names them. He get going through this whole book and they're reading it in church, and then he gets to that one part and you know the guy that's reading it, he's saying, and do this and da da da, and God loves you, and then he stops. Because they're there and their names are in it and he's getting ready to read it. That's pretty bold. Now, I don't know how he acted there. I don't know if that's one of those times where he says, you know, it's like when a guy gets up and says, oh, yeah, I'm so good looking, or I'm so this, I'm so that, you know, where we're kind of joking about ourselves. But he does say, hey, you know, I'm timid when I'm away, but when I'm writing to you, you know, I'm bold. And then he comes with this very bold statement. He says, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some of you who think we live by the standards of this world. He's saying, guys, get it together. We don't live like they live. And we know who they are, and we know who we are. He says, we don't live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the war does. As the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The first thing in this war against evil that we cannot escape, that is going on, whether we like it or not, the first thing that we have to do to understand the battleground is forget what you know. Look at verse 3. He says, look, though we live in the world, we do not wage war like the world does. We live here. There's no debate about that. We all go to school and work and play and socialize and play, you know, all that with people, with the world. And there's a way that the world works. But we have to understand, we have to believe, we have to live like we are different. That those of us who are in Christ are new creations. The old is gone and the new has come. We are different. We do things differently. And it's okay. It's okay to be different. It's okay to stand out. It's okay for people who don't know Christ, who don't have Christ, who aren't new creations, to come up to you and say, what are you doing? It's okay. Peter actually says, live your life in a way so that people will come up to you and say, what are you doing? And then you know what we tell them? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about my Lord. Why are you acting that way? Well, because we're different. We do things differently. We have different objectives. You see, people who aren't new creations, you know what their objective is? Die with the most toys. Because you know, whoever dies with the most toys wins. To have the most friends. To be the most popular. To have the most power. To be you know what our objective is? Our objective is to win as many people for the glory of God as possible. To be a shining light, not of how great we are, but how great He is. Let your light so shine before men so that they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our objective is for when people to see us, they think, I saw God today. Isn't there a country song about that? I saw God today. Have you ever heard that song? He is, oh, I saw a flower in a crack in the sidewalk. Oh, I saw a bird. I saw God today. Great song, sort of. Terrible theology. You know, people, when they go home and they see Blair Rogers, you know what they ought to sing? I saw God today. When they see Joe Height, I saw God today. When they see not the flowers in the sidewalk, not the trees, you know, but when they see us, that's our objective, to glorify God. But he says, look, there's a battle going on. Philippians 3 and 18 says that there are some who live as enemies of the cross, and their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is in their shame, and they are headed for destruction. But our citizenship is in heaven. Guys, we're different. Forget what we know about battles. Forget what we know about fighting. Forget what we know about our objective. Because Christ sets that. We're different. Also, understanding the battleground. Not only do we need to forget what we know, but know this. If you can see the enemy, it's not the enemy. What do I mean by that? The fact of the matter is we're not fighting other people. We're not. We're not up against other people. We're up against Satan and the rulers of the dark places and the schemes and all that. We're not fighting other people. And it's time for us as Christians to lay down our arms against others who proclaim the name and wear the name Christian and not fight each other. The Bible is not the sword of the Spirit to wage war against what other people say. The Bible is the sword of the Spirit to wage war against sin. See, we're not fighting other people. We're fighting against sin. He tells us in verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. You see, too often in church and in Christianity, we spend so much time, so much energy, so much mental energy fighting people, other people. And God's telling us we're fighting strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? It's not this that you know in the battlefield. You don't set up. These are fortified positions, caches. Basically, the wording there is where things are stored. Typically, now, and again, and I've never been in battle, praise God, but those of you who have, you don't put the storage caches on the front lines, typically, right? Those are way back where they're not vulnerable to attack. Unseen to the frontline battle. What he's saying is that, guys, we've got to fight against the unseen things, that the things that are stored way, way back in the rear, way, way back away from the fighting. And isn't that what we do? Howard nailed it today in our communion meditation. He said, we like to say things and pray things that we feel like we got a pretty good handle on. You know, God, forgive me, and now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to try my best to forgive other people. But you know what we hoard, what we keep way back in a stronghold, in a fortified position, what we cash away is all of that bitterness and envy and strife and hate and all of those things, and we guard that way back. Now, up here in the front lines of the battle of our Christianity, we like to talk about the things that we kind of have a pretty decent chance of overcoming. But all of this back here, we're guarding that. Because that's really, really what makes me comfortable. Because I can control that, and I'm in charge of that, and that's my sin, and I plan towards it, and all that. And Paul is saying, that's what the battle is about. What you save. What you protect. So if you can see it, other people, as you walk on, that's not the enemy. That's not what we're fighting. The last thing, the enemy, is actually not out there. The evil that's in the world, the enemy that we are fighting, is already inside the gates. The enemy, the evil that we are against, that Ephesians 6 tells us to be on our guard and fight, that we have forever thought was somewhere out there lurking, ready to take us over. And if only we could get this legislation passed, they wouldn't be able to do it. And if only we could get this program going, then we would be safe. And if only we could weed out these people and make a policy against this and against that, then we will be okay and our way of life will be sustained. That's not at all where the battle is. Because the enemy's already inside. We're fighting what is already inside of ourselves. When in Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus is talking to Peter and he says, Peter, what do you believe about me? Most important thing, he doesn't ask, what do other people believe? He says, what's the word of me on the street? What are you hearing? He's not worried about what they believe. He says, what are you hearing? Because that's going to affect you. And they say, some say you're this and some say you're that. And then Jesus asks the question, but what do you think I am? What do you think about me? Because Jesus, you know, God is not concerned with everyone else. You know who God is concerned with? You. And we spend so much time fighting the evil that is out there. And Jesus says, what is the evil in you? What do you believe about me? Frank, what do you think about Jesus? Heather, what do you think? Because it isn't about them, it's about us. It's about me. Because I can't control anything that person believes about Jesus, that person thinks about Jesus. All I can do is, what does Shane think about Jesus? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, that's right. And that's the truth. And upon that reality, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell don't stand a chance. And he's talking about the gates of hell that have been erected in our hearts. The gates of hell that we have constructed around the life that we want, that we like, that's comfortable, where we can lob grenades and snipe people from inside these gates. And Jesus says, those are the gates of hell. And when I get in your heart, when the truth about me is there, when you use the weapon that I am in the manner in which I was designed to be used, those gates around your heart stand no chance. We have to be willing to wage war on what we have secured and protected in our hearts. And in Matthew 6 and 21, he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on this world. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because where your treasure is, there your heart is. And we think about that and say, okay, well, I want to define where my heart is, what I love. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to really value these things, and that's where my heart's going to be. And that's not at all what he says. Look, what do you protect? What Matthew 6 is saying, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. He said, what do you protect now? What are you protecting now? What do you save towards, plan towards? What do you spend on, think about? What do you protect now? Because that's what you love. That's what you love. See, it's easy for us to wage war out there. Lob grenades, come up with bigger and better weapons, and, you know, heat-seeking this, and, GPS navigational, explosive incendiary that, and that's great, but that's not where the war is. When we allow Christ to demolish the strongholds in our lives, when we allow Christ to break down the gates of hell that have been erected around our hearts, then we will live Christ. Then we will be Jesus. We will be His hands and feet. We will be His light and His salt. And then others will be affected by that, and they will invite Him in to wage war on the gates of hell in their hearts. And guess what? We don't have to. We just allow Him to defeat the evil in us. Then we will do good deeds, glorify our Father in heaven. People will come to us and say, what are you doing? We'll tell them about Jesus. They will accept Him. He'll wage war in their hearts. They will do good deeds and glorify their Father in heaven. And then people within their sphere of influence will say, what in the world are you doing? And they'll say, let me tell you about Jesus. And the war wages on. This morning, will you allow Christ to wage war? Will you allow Him to break strongholds, arguments, pretensions? Will you give Him access to the depots that we store things way away from the battle lines so that we can give glory to Him? This morning, will you pray with me? Father, we come before You and I ask that, God, that we would forget what the world teaches us about war. Forget what the world teaches us about waging war on evil, Father, that it is someone else's issue, that it is against other people, that Father, it is up to the government to pass laws, that it is up to, Father, I pray that we would forget all of that and we would wage war on the evil and the sin in our lives. Father, I pray that we would do so to the level that we would be so different and so odd and so unlike anything that is seen, that people would be forced to ask us what our problems are and we could tell them about You. That You, God, are our problem. That You are a problem in the lives of anyone who is trying to store up sin and deceit and pretensions. And You just won't let it stay there. And You're breaking them down, weeding them out, changing us, so that when people see us, they will see You and glorify You. Father, help us to accept the words of Your Scripture into our hearts, into our lives, into our mouths, so that we can change. God, help us to believe that our life never ends. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Would you join me as together we stand and as we sing the song of invitation?